Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us our special friend and one of the great leaders of the conservative movement here in the United States, John Stormer, who back in 1964 wrote a book that had a profound influence on my life and the influence of millions of others who read his book. It was called None Dare Call It Treason. Well, John, of course, went on to become a minister and has been active trying to educate people ever since. His new book, None Dare Call It Education, we also carry copies of his book, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later?
Yes, sir.
And, of course, we have a number of videos he's produced where the dead communists and going into what's happening in our education. And so if you want to get the videos, we think they're really must to know what's going on today. But, John, as you look and see what's going on today, what are the things that really concern you?
Well, there's a whole list of things.
Maybe I should say what doesn't concern you might be easier.
But I think the real concern I have is the, of course, the involvement in Iraq, and presented and was sold the idea that we're going to go in there to dump Saddam Hussein, and he was a guy that needed to be dumped, although they should have done it back in '92 when he had attacked Kuwait. So
could you ask David come out and have some?
And
go right ahead.
As this has been sold and resold as an effort to establish democracy in Iraq and as an outpost for democracy throughout the East, the concerns I have are that when this has been presented and is supposedly underlying our whole program there, that our leadership is ignoring or just doesn't recognize what America's founders said was necessary to establish an ongoing free republic that can only succeed and continue on a moral and a religious foundation. We could look at all sorts of, and I've been looking at them. I've been working on a copy of Understanding the Times for next month. John Adams, our second president, said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And he repeated these same concepts again and again in speeches and writings. And a number of years later, in August of 1811, he wrote, "Religion and virtue are the only foundations, not only of republicanism and of all free government, but of social felicity under all governments and in all combinations of human society." James Madison, the fourth president of the United States.
Hold that thought right there, John. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. Our special guest this afternoon is John Stormer, and John is talking about this whole idea of we're going over to Iraq to bring democracy to Iraq and to all the people of the Near East. Now, why would we want to do that when America wasn't a democracy? In fact, the founding fathers of this country despised the concept of democracy. They created a republic. They made a definite distinction between a republic and a democracy. And, of course, as Professor Andrew Taylor had said, you know, at the time, even before our country was created in 1789, democracies are temporary forms of government. They last only until people find that they can vote themselves into the public treasury. The country goes bankrupt and they're replaced by a dictatorship. So why would we want to create a temporary form of government that would end up with dictatorship in the Middle East? Is it that our leaders don't understand the difference between a republic and democracy? We are not a democracy. Democracies always fail. Plato talked about that. Why? What's this really all about, John?
Well, of course, as far as most of the American people are concerned, because of what's been done in the education system for the last 75 or 80 years, we haven't been teaching generation after generation of the difference between a democracy and a republic. And as you explained exactly, a democracy, it becomes mobocracy, and when people find that through the vote they can vote themselves largesse out of the public treasury and eliminate, destroy the system. But even if people, I guess when people hear the word that we're out to establish democracy in Iraq, for example, most people would understand that to mean some form of representative self-government. They would think that what we'd be doing would be helping those people to establish what we have or what we once had. And that was the basis on which that I was trying to make the point that our founding fathers, and we seem to forget their wisdom, the founding fathers made it very plain that as Adams said, I believe I mentioned it already, our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, and it's hardly inadequate for the government of any other. Or James Madison, our fourth president, he said religion is the basis and foundation of government. We've staked the whole future of American civilization not in the power of government, far from it. We've staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God.
And, of course, we have people on the Supreme Court who hate God, are doing everything they can to take and destroy the religious foundations of this nation, realizing that if you destroy the religious foundations of the nation, you can't have self-government and you end up with tyranny. People have forgotten that here, and yet that's the sort of government we're trying to impose over in Iraq.
Well, that's right. And basically, too, now some would hear the remarks of Adams and Madison and some of the others, and we got to talk about what religion were the founding fathers talking about. And in a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1813, Adams wrote, "I have examined all religions as well as my narrow sphere, my straitened means, and my busy life would allow. And the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world." And if we forget that and try to transport something of what we have here, of course, I think it was Jay Leno that said, we're over there trying to help them write a constitution, why don't we just give them ours because it isn't used here anymore?
I think that was really such an insightful remark, and everybody laughed, but there's a great deal of wisdom in it. The people in the Supreme Court don't believe in the Constitution, and tragically, neither do most of the people in our legislatures.
Well, that's true, and I'm doing some research and back over. Well, you know, the problems that we face today, well, it goes way back, but C.C. Gengel in Harvard Law School in 1873, now he was quite a disciple of Charles Darwin, and he translated Darwin's biological theories that man evolves and all the rest. Gengel, the head of the law school up there, said that biological evolution, law has to evolve and grow. And by 1900, we had pretty well cast Blackstone, the father of American law, the English common law that was translated over here. And Blackstone made it very, very plain that the common law was totally based on the scriptures. And anything that violated scripture was null and void, even if a legislature approved it. But by about 1900, we started to replace the old common law, based on the Bible, with a new concept, sociological jurisprudence. Now, these things were done, and it went to Harvard then, and Roscoe Pound, who was a student of Gengel's, in 1921, he said, the state replaces Jehovah as the giver of law. And the tragedy is that these things were all being stated. They changed our legal educations. They published their statements. But tragically, I think the churches were so heavenly minded that they ignored these things that were going on and never stood up and said, "No, wait a minute, you're going in the wrong direction." And as a result, our legal education, our courts, were all transformed. And in fact, that guy Pound wrote a book. I've read a couple of his books recently, and he's as bad as John Dewey. I mean, you can take his books and prove almost anything from them.
Now, was that Ezra Pound?
No, this was Roscoe Pound.
Oh, Roscoe Pound. Okay, fine.
He was head of the Harvard Law School for about 20 years. And he wrote a book, Law and Morals. And he says that we need to get back to a place where the law recognizes morals. Now, he'd already thrown out Blackstone, who said the law is based on the Bible. But as you read his books and read his study, what he's saying is we got to get away from those old things and change the law and the interpretation of the law to introduce morals.
And, of course, what he was really doing was say that man will determine what's right and wrong, or almost sounds like Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. And what they wanted to do was replace the law of God with the laws. Well, whatever people wanted to do was legal.
Exactly. And then if you read Pound and these others, they said, now, if you get back into English law in the 1600s and the 1700s in America, the emphasis was on individual rights and property rights. But when you just have that hardcore view there, you aren't really recognizing the needs of society. And we need to, they said, we got to stand firm on individual rights. And as they have transposed today, the concept of individual rights is you have and individual rights to abort babies or engage in sodomy or some of these other things. And they've transformed our legal system, and so today we have Supreme Court decreeing that it's a constitutional right to abort babies or engage in sodomy or have same-sex marriages or any of the other things.
Well, because there is just almost like a conspiracy against God, and it involves key people, not only with our judiciary, but within our legislature, and it really is a spiritual battle, this effort to destroy the moral and religious foundations of this society. And people say, oh, you want your morals taught. No, I want God's morals. I want the Bible, what the Bible says. They're not my morals. This is God's law, and when we turn our back on that, we turn back the source of our freedom and our independence and our liberty.
That's exactly right. And along with that, then, I've been kind of puzzled, if you will, at the hatred in our society today. The hatred directed last week during the Reagan funeral at Reagan by people even that probably were just born sometime during the time that they couldn't have lived through his administration. And I would have had some differences there, but there was that young man, a disc jockey on the University of Alaska station up in Fairbanks, Alaska, who the day after Reagan died ran a program celebrating the death of Reagan, and suggested that people find out where he'd be buried and go out and, I even hate to say these things, urinate on his grave and so forth. We're seeing a vicious hatred. My wife goes to the donut shop every morning early to drink a cup of coffee and work the crossword puzzle. She said it holds off Alzheimer's. But while she's there, she gets into some lively discussions. And about 10 days, 2 weeks ago, when that first report was made that there might be some terrorism brewing this summer, and she was reading the paper and commenting and said, boy, there's probably a real danger with the Democrats and the Republicans holding conventions. This could be a real target. And there was a fellow there who said, boy, I sure hope it's in New York and they kill all those Republicans. Now, we've always had, and there are legitimate reasons to differ over political things, but there's a hatred that's brewing up, and I'm saying, why? And I think I finally come to see, in fact, I preached about it on Sunday, the first chapter of Romans says that everybody can know there is a God just from his creations. But if they don't acknowledge him as God and become unthankful and becoming fools, they profess themselves to be wise, although they're fools, and God gives them up to all the sodomy and that, but then to a reprobate mind. And if you go down through Romans 1 there, I think you see that what it is, they're... And you mentioned it earlier. We have a growing number of Americans who believe that they are the ultimate authority. And anybody who, whether it's George Bush or Ronald Reagan or whomever, some preacher that says, well, same-sex marriages aren't good or abortion is a violation of God's law, they just don't differ politically over it, but they become motivated and vicious with hate. And we're seeing this, that it goes a long way beyond political differences. And we're becoming a very deeply divided people. And
well, John, I don't think that's happening by accident. I think it's happening by intent. I think there is an effort to discourage us, to create a disillusion, to demoralize us, to give us the feeling that nothing can be done. And so many people today, they don't even want to know what's going on. They don't want to hear what's going on. They don't want to discuss it because it makes them feel bad and because they do not understand. We are truly involved in a spiritual battle.
Right.
On the hearts and souls and minds of mankind. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with John Stormer, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in America. We'd love to hear from you. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind you that we do carry Miracle 2 soap products, and I will tell you that I can't tell you they have a definite any medical benefits, but I will tell you an awful lot of the people who use these will call us and say, gee, my psoriasis, I've had this, you know, for 50 years, and this is the first thing that's ever really helped me, or this is taking the way of the rash, and I've used all these salves and ointments and lotions, and nothing's helped. But I've used your Miracle 2 soap products and I'm so much better, or my itchy dry skin is better, or, well, all I can do is tell you that I'm so pleased we have a product that people really do like and really do benefit from them. I can't tell you why it works. I can just tell you that some people use the neutralizer for their upper intestinal tract symptoms, their heartburn. Some people use it for their lower intestinal tract. Why don't you give them a try? At least consider getting an introductory offer. Call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. We're talking about this idea that we've got to go over to the Middle East and we've got to bring them democracy. Now, if you've read a wonderful book by Samuel Huntington, who's professor of history at Harvard, a world-known historian, and he talks about the worst possible mistake you could make would be to try to force your culture onto somebody else. The people in the Middle East, he talks about, don't want our form of culture, and the worst thing we'd ever do is get involved with a war with any of those countries. Because of the kin relationship, all the other countries would come against you. It's almost as if our leaders had read that book, and I know that Kissinger and Brzezinski had both read it because they both praised it, and yet it advised the current administration to go ahead and do exactly what would be required to foment a world war. There's no other explanation I can think of. And this idea that we want to bring a democracy to the Middle East, when, of course, our founding fathers didn't believe in democracy. They wanted a republican form of government with limited central authority and individual freedom. And this system of government would work only with a moral and deeply religious people. So pick up the story from there, John.
Well, I think that I recently ran into the idea that we could get people there to work together, and whether it's in Afghanistan, you've got a half a dozen warlords that are all struggling to see who's going to come out on top, and much of that. But I ran into a recent little quote. 200 years ago, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson appointed General William Eaton, and both of those presidents appointed Eaton to head American forces in the conflict with the Barbary pirates of Tripoli. Of course, they were Muslims. They were capturing American merchant vessels and their seamen. And Eaton wrote to the Secretary of State at that time, Thomas Pickering, to explain why Muslims would be such dedicated foes. He wrote, and I quote, "Taught by revelation, their Koran, that war with Christians will guarantee the salvation of their souls, and finding great secular advantage in the observance of this religious duty, keeping the captured cargoes, their Muslim inducements to desperate fighting are very powerful." And Eaton then was finally commenced military action over there. And David Barton, in his excellent little book, Original Intent, quoted what Eaton wrote in his personal journal in April of 1805. In what would now be a politically incorrect statement, Eaton said, "We find it almost impossible to inspire these wild bigots with confidence in us, or to persuade them that, being Christians, we cannot be otherwise than enemies to Muslims. We have a difficult undertaking." And even if you took that we were involved over there for all good reasons, if you've read the Koran, if you've studied it, you can say these are people who don't understand and don't really want a representative government. They don't have the foundation for it. They don't have the theological foundation for it. The United States, with our Declaration of Independence, is different than any other political system in the world. The concept that our rights come from God, not from government or a constitution or a bill of rights or anything else, but from God, that sets us apart. And we have built a system of government. We're in the process of losing it, based on that very different foundation. And of course, one of the reasons we're losing it is we haven't taught those truths in the schools of America for 75 or 80 years.
Amen to that. And of course, if you don't understand that our freedoms come from God, and that, I know 200 years ago, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, everybody in America knew that. And the reason we don't know it today is because there are people who hate God, and they control our educational system, and they control our great universities, and they print our textbooks, and they take mention of God out of them, and they work in our courts. And that is the great tragedy today. And the only way we're going to, of course, be able to preserve any semblance of freedom is to return to our religious roots. We're going to be back here in just a moment with John Stormer. We'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. How is it that 1 or 2% of the population can take God out of our schools? Very simply, because there's a conspiracy against God.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time I need to remind you that we do carry the big Berkey water filters, and if you don't have one, why, you really ought to. Now, in times like these, it's wonderful to be able to have a source of drinking water, of course, that you can drink. And, of course, you can take pool water or pond water or river water or lake water and run it through either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. Of course, it'll run through about 24 gallons a day. Ceramic filters filled with activated charcoal. The basic design is 150 years old. It works great. And it really will give you potable water and removing most of the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria and all those other things you don't want to drink. You certainly should have an alternative source of drinking water. And then, of course, you can get the Big Berkey in any state in the Union except California and Iowa. Here in California, you can get the Berkey Light. Now, the Big Berkey is $279. The Berkey Light's only $199. It's about the same size. It's made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water levels. The filters are what we call black Berkey filters, or you call them purifiers, because they do even a better job than the ceramic filters. But they have to be replaced every couple of years, whereas the Big Berkey filters can be cleaned and used over and over again. So certainly you have to decide which one you want to get. Now, if you want to get the fluoride out and other impurities, you can get the Berkey 2. They take out fluoride and, as I remember, arsenic. The Berkey 4s will take out, and you use those on the Big Berkey. They take out all sorts of other things. But call right now and order a Big Berkey. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening is John Stormer. Right now, let's go to Fred calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Have you a question for our guest?
Yes, I wanted to just say that when you look back in history about 120 years ago, this country was totally divided. And we went through one of the worst wars that we've ever seen with the Civil War. And you've still got families today that haven't talked for 120 years. And I don't really think that what's going on right now is any worse than what we had back then.
Well, of course, that was manipulated just as this is being manipulated, but at least at that time we acknowledged Christianity as our religion. How would you respond to Fred, John?
Well, there have always been divisions, and there were very deep divisions there, and some of them still remain. But I don't sense, those who still regard the Civil War, which is actually 140 years ago, as the War of Northern Aggression and some of those things. I don't sense and I have contact with lots of people that there's the real vicious sort of hatred that I'm seeing today develop. Now, I certainly differed, and a lot of people differed with Mr. Clinton and what went on in the Oval Office and a whole lot of other things he did. But I didn't hate him. I opposed his standards, what he did, but I see just a total viciousness. It's showing up. I'm running into it among some of the politicians, Catholics, that are pro-abortion, and we have a new archbishop in St. Louis who has taken a pretty firm stand, as have a couple of the bishops around the country, that if you are a Catholic and you're in a public office and you are publicly favoring abortion, which is a violation of their, not only of God's law, but their church law, then you shouldn't take communion. And the viciousness that's responded to that, I guess it comes back that nobody wants to be told you can't do this or that. You are the final authority.
All right, fine. Thanks so much. Let's go to Dave calling from Illinois. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple comments. Earlier in the hour, your guest pointed out how, you know, the Bush administration is trying to create democracy in Iraq. And I just want to say that, in my view, your guest alluded to this, that, you know, it's not going to work. I mean, trying to turn Iraq into democracy is like trying to teach a horse to be a turtle. It's just not going to work. That's my first comment. My second comment is, Dr. Stan, you said that, you know, this could lead to World War III. I think you're right about that. But I also think I don't think the Bush administration cares a hoot about the Iraqi people. I really don't think they do. I think they're doing the bidding of multinational businesses. And I personally think that if and when things do settle down over there to any degree, when it does occur, I think these multinationals are going to come in and try to make a profit. And that means that our soldiers die for that. And that makes me sick. I mean, that's not the reason for our guys to die.
All right, fine. John, how would you respond to David?
Well, there's always the question raised that the only people that profit from war are some of the munitions makers and so forth, and that's certainly been true, and it's a tragedy, but of course I think we're always, for one reason or another, the Lord said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and a lot of reasons. In some cases they're definitely planned and for certain goals, whether to ultimately create one world government as the answer, supposedly. But a one world government would bring war against all of us who believe in freedom and would like to maintain some sort of sovereignty.
Okay, Dave, I really think that there are many, many reasons for this war. None of them have to do with democracy, but you have to have something to tell the American people. And it goes back to the First World War. The First World War was to make the world safe for democracy. That was what it was all about. We fought that war to make the world safe for democracy. We fought the Second World War for the four freedoms so the people would be free. And, of course, with each war, why the people here in America lost more freedom. But, of course, I believe there are many, many people who favor this war because they feel that they're running out of oil. We've got to corner the oil. If we can control the Middle East, and we intend to control all the countries over there, we'll control 70% of the world's oil, and America can be the predominant nation. But many of these people, I don't believe, really understand they're being manipulated, because I believe with John, this is all about bringing about the new world order. I fear it's going to be World War III, and as a result of that, why there'll be so much devastation in this country, the people will plead, give us a world government, anything rather than another terrible war like we had. That's the way the people in Europe were after the First and Second World War, and I think we have to have a Third World War to get the American people to be willing to give up their freedom and their principles and accept the New World Order.
One last comment. I think I agree with you, Dr. Stan, but also I add this to that. You know, we are kicking off the entire Middle East right now, okay, as you've talked about, and we're losing our manufacturing. Is actually in the news recently. They finally was a news article recently on the TV about how we're becoming vulnerable as far as that, losing manufacturing militarily. And where I think we're ahead, Stan, is number one, our troops are all over the world. Okay, we're losing our manufacturing, so the day is going to come. We are simply not going to be the superpower we have been. And when that comes, we're going to be so vulnerable, and it scares me.
All right, how would you respond to David?
Well, we're only producing something in the neighborhood of 25% of the steel that that we use here. And if we ever really got into a real all-out sort of World War II sort of war, where most of the world was against us and submarines and all that kind of stuff, we couldn't support, as this gentleman indicates, we couldn't support that effort. And if the day comes that, for example, the Arabs really want to get serious about our support of Israel and some of those things, if they cut off our oil and the price of getting it back was Israel, I think most Americans would say, well, I got to have my gasoline, I got to have my car. And so we're getting ourselves, as the prices have spiked, and again, my wife speaks out on these things. she was filling up the car and mentioned it, and they said, well, it's all Bush's fault. And she said, well, maybe the reason why gasoline prices are up is because all of your liberal friends won't let us drill up in the Anwar Reserve and develop the oil that we have, you know. And the guy quit talking and walked away. But we're being manipulated in so many different ways and using so many different... I think this whole energy situation is... it's just totally ridiculous.
It's all manipulated, and it's about time the American people realize that everything is manipulated. There's plenty of oil, at least we have documentation of the massive amounts of oil that's up on the off the North Slope, and you're never going to hear about it because they don't want you to. They're pushing us into a crisis, and believe me, you think that gas is expensive now, you just wait. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Dave, let's go to Daryl in Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Dr. Stan and John, and I'm from Crescent, Pennsylvania, which is a couple stone's throws away from where John, a native of Altoona, grew up. Am I
correct,
right, John?
That's right.
And I just want to let everyone know I have the three books, Dr. Stan, that you mentioned of John Stormer's, and all three are available through Radio Liberty, and I would urge folks to get that. And the first book that I believe John wrote was None Dare Call It Treason, and that was, I believe, what, about 1965, John?
64.
64, and I graduated from high school in 65, and that book documents quite a bit the communist infiltration into, like, our U.S. State Department and other government agencies. And after I get off, I'd like maybe John to develop that point a little bit. But I would just, final thing to say is I would urge everybody to get a catalog from Radio Liberty or to go up on their website, radioliberty.com, and check out the tons of... audio tapes and videos and great books that are offered through Radio Liberty. And God bless and thank you both.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Bye-bye, Daryl.
If I could add something to that, I would encourage listeners. I get calls all the time. I had a call yesterday from a dear lady in New Jersey. Her next-door neighbor had given her a copy of the old None Dare Call It Treason. And they were discussing some things, and he said, you've never read that? Oh, you must read it. And she said, I brought it home. She said, I read half of it last night, and I'm reading right now, and I need my own copy. she said, back in 1964, she said, I was in college then, and she said, I was a total airhead, but I'm coming around. So there are people out there waking up, and I hear from people almost every week that have just gotten a copy of this almost 40-year-old book, and say it's speaking to everything that we're looking at today. So encourage the listeners. Dr. Stan has them there, and he mentioned a little bit ago the Vietnam series of tapes are excellent, but there's one chapter in None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later that sums it up, details why we were forced to lose the Vietnam War.
And, of course, you have the, None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later.
Correct.
And, of course, that's an update to that. And so we carry that. Actually, we still have copies of None Dare Call It Treason available. We have copies of None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later. We've just laid in a supply of None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Those were the two great books of another era, and they're all available from Radio Liberty right now. along with Lindsay Williams' excellent book, which came out in 1980, of The Energy Non-Crisis, which will tell you why you're being lied to, and if you don't have a copy of that, why it is available from Radio Liberty. What are those three videos that you have that we carry?
The three videos?
You have three videos that we carry. If you're three videos of yours.
The first one is, what are the dead communists doing in the world today? We hear that communism died. It didn't. Putin is reestablishing the communist dictatorship structure in the Soviet in the old Soviet Union, including the so-called independent republics. And then, of course, even if there was no communism in Russia, and there is, you got Red China with missiles pointed at us. They're alive and well, and they're working around the world. They're manipulating all sorts of things.
Yeah, because the thing is, you had to sell the American people that communism was dead. And it wasn't the communists that did this. The communists have never been in control of our media, but the people from the CFR have. And they've always used communism to focus our attention there while we were losing our freedom here.
Right. The other, another of the videos, the war against our culture through the schools. It ties closely with, well, it goes on from where what we did in Nandir College Education, which is a book that, you know, this is something, Stan, that Dr. Stan, that maybe some of your listeners could be encouraged to get the book. Just recently, I've been working with a public school superintendent out in western Missouri. He got the book, he read it, and said, well, this really speaks to what's wrong in education. He bought 100 copies of it, distributed it to the staff and teachers in his small school district, about 50. Then he distributed them in the adjoining school district. He came back last week and said, I need another 100 of those books. So even educators, there are decent people out there that don't like what's going on, and they know that they have no control over what they do in their own school district, and you know, they're dedicated people. They'd have to be dedicated to put up with all the rules and regulations and the kids that from unruly homes that they're not allowed to deal with. So I'd suggest get some books out, get them to school board members or school superintendents, and some of them may spit in your face, but if we get one here and there, it can make an impact.
And this is a very important book. It's called None Dare Call It Education. And then there's a third video in the set.
Yes. The biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And it starts out asking the question, if, as the Declaration says, we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to secure these rights, or make these rights secure, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And we ask the question that everybody should be asking, 4th of July, or whenever one of these decisions come down from the Supreme Court, whether it's over abortion, or sodomy, or whatever, to ask the question, say, how can they find in a constitution written to make secure our God-given rights, a right to abort babies, engage in sodomy, or whatever? And then we go on from there and show that there is a biblical basis for our complete constitution, for our Bill of Rights, every one of them. There's specific biblical support, actual verses and chapters that support our whole system of government as it was written originally.
And I think it's so important that you have the information. These are talks that John has given, and we carry all three of those videos. We encourage you to get them because John's been around for a long time, and certainly he understands what's going on. And we have to learn from others who've gone before us so that we can, of course, carry on. And so we recommend those three. What are the dead communists doing? The biblical basis of our Constitution. What's the third one?
The war against our culture.
The war against our culture. And you
and
can get
some of those, you know, some of those, if somebody really wants to, they could, it's hard to get people to read sometime, but, for example, The War Against Our Culture Through the Schools invites
few friends or relatives, somebody in, and show the video, and then have some books there and say, if you want to really get to the bottom of it, here's one that goes really deep into this, and you might get people to read.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do, because it's going to be up to you out there in the audience to put this information out, John, and I can only just reach so many people at a time. John Stormer, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we're looking forward to get you on our other programs to get out the same message. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a really important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it's really consistent phone clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blowing from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I really need to remind you that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And, of course, Christianity is under attack. And if you can destroy the Christian foundations of this nation, you can understand, destroy this nation. That's why you need to get some of the books. We'll go into the background of this. Let me suggest the material that, of course, John Stormer has. And we carry all of his books we've talked about and all of his videos. We carry a 4-tape set called The Foundation of Our Freedom. We have a wonderful, wonderful book. It's called America's God and Country by Bill Feder. It's over 800 pages. You can get the book, or you can get a CD that has everything on it you can use on your computer. We have, of course, Tim LaHaye's book, The Faith of Our Founding Fathers, and we have The Abandonment Theology. We have that The Original Intent by David Barton. We have so much information. We need your help to get it out. You misunderstand. If they can destroy the religious foundation of America, they can destroy America. And they, of course, know they're not going to change older people. That's why they're after the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children in our schools today. The Supreme Court opens, as you've heard me say before, when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. And the justices hear that every day, and they vote against having God in our schools. Why? Because they hate God. Because there is a conspiracy against God, and because this began when they began putting members of secret societies onto our Supreme Court. And if you haven't yet read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, and find out the members of a secret society where we have over 2 million members today, control the United States Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971 in majorities of 5 to 4 to 8 to 1. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We got... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to tell our listeners all across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, we also, you can do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, of course, we'd be glad to send it to you, but well, we do hope that you want to subscribe to it, but you're welcome to a free copy of the newsletter, and that helps us as well. And then, of course, if you'd be interested in getting John Stormer's excellent books, we do have old copies of None Dare Call It Treason. We have copies of his book, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. We have his book, None Dare Call It Education. We carry any one of those three videos. You can get all three of them as a set at a reduced cost. And, of course, then we even found some old copies of None Dare Call It Conspiracy, a book that came out in 1972. It's excellent. We are now carrying Lindsay Williams' book, 1980, The Energy Non-Crisis, telling you that everything you're hearing from the controlled media today is a lie. There's plenty of oil up the North Slope. In fact, the book was rewritten by the head of the consortium that was put in the pipeline, and he talks to you about Gull Island. Will blow your mind. And then the next chapter is, which was written by an executive from Atlantic Richfield. The next one was, and if this doesn't blow your mind, this will. If that doesn't blow your mind, this will. And of course, he wrote the chapters because he had been fired by Atlantic Richfield. And after the book came out, they hired this man back to actually to silence him. Now, I checked the story because I went to some of the other people who were mentioned in the book, and they confirmed, yes, it's all true. And we don't know why they've never gotten that massive amounts of oil up there. Why? Well, because they want to create the crisis. They want to get you out of your car. They want to run the price of oil up. And with the shortage of oil, they can justify the war in the Middle East. And there are a lot of people who really believe, and there's an element of truth in it, that we had to go over there. We had to lie to the American people why we were going. But we had to go over because we had to be able to control that oil. Because we're running out of oil. That's what they want you to believe. And that's why the book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is so important. It's only, I think, $8 or $9, something like that. You need to get the information. You need to share it with others. You need to help us get the truth out across America. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my video, Iraq, The Untold Story. And with that, you can get the separately the syllabus. And it's 150 pages or more. And it documents the fact that we didn't go to war over there because of, democracy. We didn't go over to the war because there was weapons of mass destruction, but because Saddam Hussein was working with Al-Qaeda, because Saddam Hussein hated Osama bin Laden, because Osama was a fundamentalist Muslim, and of course, Saddam Hussein was a secular Muslim. So we went over there for entirely different reasons, and the real reason is the New World Order, the New World Religion, and creating World War III. So you've got to get involved. You've got to understand, and I don't know a better source of information, talking not what I have said, but what they have said, and you need to get into the background of the project for the New American Century. That secret little group, well, it's not secret. They've got a website. It's all up there, but you're not going to hear about it from Rush Limbaugh or Dan Rather or Bill O'Reilly or Tom Brokaw, because they're paid a six-figure salary or more. Not to reveal, but to conceal the truth from the American people. And you trust them because they're such nice people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you. Kevin Demerit from Lear Financial called me recently and asked if he could sponsor some of our Radio Liberty programs. So I checked out his corporation. They have a good reputation in the field.